Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
We celebrate today the second Sunday of this time of Advent. And we introduce today in our Gospel very important figure for every Advent, John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who is preparing the way for Jesus Christ to come in this Christmas, who is doing what we are supposed to do also during these 4 weeks of Advent, preparing the Lord the way to our heart. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries.
Lord Jesus,
the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
John the Baptist appeared preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out of the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all of Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Once again, as Father mentioned, at Advent we have the illustrious, very on fire John the Baptist arise on the scene in Advent. And his first words that come out of his mouth are, "Repent. Repent, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." Repent, prepare, make straight. These words are for the souls of those that he was addressing, and those words are for our souls also today, 2,000 years later. Prepare, make ready for the coming judgment. It's important to review and ponder the object held before the human soul. The object, the aim, the bullseye, is union with God and nothing else. We were made to be one with God. This aimed and exalted goal is something that the human mind cannot comprehend. It is in that first reading of Isaiah where everything will be completely different when we are united with God. And who's ever heard of a lion eating hay? Or a cow with a bear? The bear would just destroy that cow. Because it's so different in the way we see things on earth, in the animal kingdom, in the plant kingdom, in our souls, in the way things are, that John has to come from out of left field, basically eating locusts in the desert, yelling and telling you, "Repent. This is something serious. The fate of your souls is at hand. It is sin that gets in the way of this union of us with God. Our immortality, we are immortal. Our souls will live forever. But that does not imply that they will live forever with God in heaven. Our souls can live forever in hell, and hell exists. Let us not think that we are sinless, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees that came before John the Baptist. They had no intention. They didn't care about repentance. They wanted to be part of the crowds so that they could continue to control them and to live and to be with them. But they truly felt above the law, as we see the term pharisaical, hypocritical. Things in human nature don't change. So sin is what keeps us from this union. And as we get ready for Christmas, right now is a time of preparation. The purple that we wear is the same that we wear during Lent, when we are about to celebrate or commemorate the crucifixion of Christ. We prepare with purple, and we wear white for Easter. Well, now we wear purple for Advent, and then we wear white for Christmas. Because it is a time now to realize that the only reason that God had to become a man was because sin entered the world and the disorder of our lives and our souls and our mind exists. And if we think that we don't have sin, then the battle for union is already half lost, my brothers and sisters. And we're living a blind existence. And the two prayers that we say constantly, the angelic salutation, the Hail Mary, what do we say? Pray for us sinners. Pray for us sinners. And the Our Father, our trespasses. Yes, we trespass continually. We mention both sin. Pray for us sinners and forgive us our trespasses. Sin is a willful turning away from God through word, thought, or deed. A sin can also be of omission. Venial sins endanger and engender vices. Well, that's just a venial sin. I don't have to confess that. Well, repeated venial sins we do have to confess, because venial sins engender vices, which then become capital sins. The sins of pride, of avarice. I think that's an American, a real trademark of America. Avarice. Preoccupied with having more. And we can't get away from it. On our phones, advertisement, more. Bigger nest egg, bigger retirement, bigger and better, more of the same thing. 18 shoes, 18 blouses, 18 shirts is part of the American way, when brothers and sisters all over the world maybe not even have one. Lust, envy, gluttony, anger. St. Catherine of Siena states that there is no sin or wrong that gives a man such a foretaste of hell in this life as anger and impatience. Venial sin weakens the soul, and if repeated, becomes serious, and if that is repeated, then it can become mortal. If we think we have no sin, if we think we don't have the need for confession, then Satan is doing a great job on you and I. And that battle is already half lost. Half won for Satan, half lost for you, a soul made in the image of God. The last verses of this gospel reading today that we hear is very interesting. It says, his winnowing fan is in his hand. The winnowing fan. I don't know about you, but before I read this, I didn't know what a winnowing fan was. He will clear the threshing floor. I didn't know what a threshing floor was. And gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff it will burn with unquenchable fire. Well, let me tell you, in case you don't know, the threshing floor, back in the day of Jesus' time, they knew what they meant, and the Gospels have continued to be copied and propagated through the years, but now we don't use threshing floors. But a threshing floor was a flat piece of wood where, when they harvested the wheat, they would throw on this huge plank. And then it would call the ox and all the
hoofed animals to trample on the wheat. And these grains, these shoots of wheat, will be trampled off by these animals. And that was the threshing floor. And then once they would leave, the animal would go ahead, there would be a mess of here, of just pieces of the covering of the wheat, and then the grain, and then they will throw it up in the air, and they will fan it, and all the chaff is all what's useless. All the crumbled up like the corn, all the little strings and the covering of that beautiful ear of corn, well, the chaff is what's crushed, and then it's worthless. And they blow it away, and then they would take broom and sweep together the grains of wheat and use that to feed themselves and to eat. And so that's what sin is. Sin is the chaff. Sin is that junk that accumulates on these, that after there's been trampled, is thrown away. And so the winnowing fan, Baptist John the Baptist is saying that God will blow away the winnowing fan will blow away the sin, and the wheat will be kept. And the chaff, which is sin, and if we're attached to sin, will be into the unquenchable fire. Fascinating language that was used. So my brothers and sisters, if even venial sin, we have to appreciate what venial sin, and the only way that we can appreciate that what even venial sin can do to a soul is to understand what the human soul is. The great news of what we have, of what we are. We possess God in our own body, in our own minds, in our own nature. It was such likeness to God, this human soul has such a likeness to God from whom it has come, that no merely created intelligence, and Blosius says that not even the Blessed Mother Virgin Mary created in the most excellent, most intelligent human that God made was the Virgin Mary. But not even Mary is able to comprehend, because she's not God. She is not even able to comprehend what the human soul is and how beautiful the human soul. Why is that? Because the human soul is reflected in us as the Trinity. We reflect the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baffling, earth-shattering, trembling that the Trinity lives in us. That's why that person that we may not like, you don't have to like them, but you have to love them. Because they have the Trinity, and they have a soul that God became a man and was crucified. That's why we must love. Doesn't mean always like, but love our enemies and love all love, because when you love your neighbor, you cannot love God if you don't love your neighbor. And so St. Catherine of Siena states that when he dignified us by imprinting us a soul, he made us as a person, as a male and a female, but then he breathed the soul into us, he gave with us that free will. And so that we have this kind of way to tangle our lives. We're able to abuse our intellect in pursuit of what that is false. We distort our wisdom, our way of looking at things, to justify evil. And he said, well, yeah, but God doesn't care. God doesn't care what machinations we do with our thoughts that may lead to sin. He will never desert us, because by deserting us, he deserts himself that is in us, the Trinity. That's the beauty of the human and the beauty of the human soul. And he sends his Son to redeem us. So, through the birth of Christ, through the birth of Christ that we're about to celebrate, then we now have a new chance of redemption. Jesus' life from the very beginning was disordered, was chaotic. And nobody in their right mind would want to live a life the way that Jesus lived. From the very beginning, he had no place to lay his head, no room in the inn. He was chased, he was ridiculed, he was challenged, he was betrayed, lived in poverty, murdered, and finally hung on a cross. And yet he states that I am the way, the truth, and the life. So my brothers and sisters, as we prepare for Christmas, for our redemption, let us remember what the angels said at the manger, peace to men of good will. Peace. That no matter what we're doing in life, if we fail, if we sin, but we have good will, and then we approach the sacrament, and we approach and ask for forgiveness, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. The order of life is this, that God allowed us to have freedom. Adam and Eve failed. We have inherited that, and there's a job to be done, and there's a war to be had. So I'll leave you with this beautiful thought when Christmas morning comes. And Luke is stated, and suddenly the angels came upon, well, I'm going to say, just read it. You shall find the infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. And then Luke states, and suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly army. An army. There's a war. There's a battle. St. Michael the Archangel and an army that was on top and said, peace to men of goodwill. So my brothers and sisters, let us in holiness, in wholeness. Holiness, so well, holiness, I go to Mass, but I don't have to be holy. But why? Nobody wants to be incomplete. There's no football team that can work if it's incomplete. There is nothing that works incomplete in this world. Holiness is wholeness. So that's why we have the sacraments and the church to make us whole, which makes us holy, and then to inherit eternal life. With Advent and the birth of Christ, we prepare ourselves to overcome sin and to overcome the world.